It is Monday morning. It's time to check on the agenda for the week ahead. There's lots of things going on. Afghanistan holds parliamentary elections on Saturday. Many anniversaries as well. Both Chile and Mexico are coming up on their bicentennial anniversaries this week. And, of course, those miners down in Chile are going to celebrate underneath the ground.
A lot on the line in Afghanistan.
Absolutely. Sure. And OPEC turns 50 tomorrow. So let's talk about the...
OPEC who?
Let's talk about the agenda. Charlie Herman is with us. He's the economics editor for The Takeaway and WNYC Radio. Your word this week is paralysis.
Paralysis. I'm thinking paralysis in terms of Congress and the administration coming to some sort of compromise in this week or next week or the next couple of weeks about what to do about the economy.
All right. Well, we're going to talk about that in just a moment. Also with us today is Terrence Samuel. He's author of The Upper House, A Journey Behind Closed Doors of the U.S. Senate, also new managing editor at the National Journal Group.
Congratulations, Terrence.
Thank you.
And welcome to the show.
Good to be here.
And your word of the week is expectations.
Mostly as in lowered expectations. but I think you're going to see a lot of people talking about, I mean, the president's talking about the economy, people talking about midterms and what to expect. And I think you're going to see a lot of people talking about how they're going to scale back those expectations.
Okay, well, let's start with Congress. They are back in session this week, and they're going to be talking a lot about whether or not they'll be extending the Bush-era tax cuts that expire at the end of the year. And House Minority Leader John Boehner talked about it yesterday on Face the Nation.
If the only option I have is to vote for those at 250 and below, of course I'm going to do that. But I'm going to do everything I can to fight to make sure that we extend the current tax rates for all Americans.
So, Terrence, this is a little bit of a backpedaling for Boehner, is it not? He's now saying he's in favor of the middle-class tax cuts.
I think he's lowering expectations. I mean, the sense was that the Republicans would go into this completely opposed, and I think the Democratic strategy of talking about middle-class tax cuts and excluding the Bush tax cut is somehow working in that you had Boehner suddenly backpedaling on this kind of absolutist stance that they had before going into this.
So, Charlie, maybe we won't get paralysis. What do you expect? Are these tax cuts going to dominate Congress this week?
I think that's the one area where we actually could see some movement. The president in his press conference on Friday talked about this as well, saying, look, we all agree on this one part. Let's move forward on that. We disagree on this other. We can debate that and talk about that later. So there is the possibility of moving forward on that. But the real question is, will they do this before the midterm election? Do the Republicans want to give anything to the Democrats before the election, or would it be perceived that way? There's a lot of talk that any sort of movement on tax cuts or any of the proposals that the president has put out there won't actually come into play until the lame duck session or the expectation of a lame duck session should the Democrats lose control of the House or Senate.
Well, it's a good thing they're not debating health care this week, right? Because everyone's talking about John Boehner's answers about his chain smoking habit, right?
Unbelievable.
Let's talk about the primaries, because it's a big day in terms of primaries. Tomorrow we're going to have primaries in Delaware, Massachusetts, Minnesota, New York, Wisconsin, Rhode Island, New Hampshire, Maryland, and D.C. That's all tomorrow. In fact, after this, there's really only one primary left. So what do you think is going to be the... I mean, I can't visit every single state, but Terrence, what's going to be the theme coming out of these primaries tomorrow, do you think?
I mean, I think on the Republican side, it's the concern about the Tea Party, and that's especially a concern in Delaware, where you have long-term Republican Congressman Mike Castle facing a Tea Party-backed Sarah Palin candidate. And the question is this become a repeat of Alaska or Utah? The concern is, the sense is probably not, but it is a concern. On the Democratic side, I think the question is about intensity and whether Democrats actually show up to vote and the as a way to judge whether they actually have any success in November.
Well, Charlie, let me ask you, your word for this week is paralysis. So maybe you're referring to or not Basel III. Financial regulators made this deal. They're calling it Basel III. And it hugely increases the amount of capital that banks are required to hold. Can you tell us a little bit about these regulations and whether they're effective?
I was just thinking, I seem to be going back on my word paralysis. But, I mean, before I explain it, yes, they have accomplished something. The question will be, how long will it take before it actually goes into play and does it?
And how do they enforce it?
Well, so Basel III comes out of this institution, the Bank of International Settlements, which you may be interested to know is an outgrowth of the League of Nations from World War I. So basically, Basel III, it is a series of recommendations from 27 countries from the central bankers. It's basically the central bank of the central bankers. We had Chairman Bernanke was there this weekend for the event. And what they did was come up with new rules for the nations and the world's largest banks to try and level the playing field across all the different countries. So they're all playing by the same same rules. They're all keeping the same amount of percentage of money available on hand in case there should be problems. The idea here is to increase stability, to reduce the amount of risk that the banks take on. And it's to do this, it's a bit of a balancing act, because if you tell banks you have to keep more money in your coffers, you can't loan out as much, then they can't loan out as much.
Less and there's liquidity.
There's worry that banks won't provide credit to people, or if they do, they'll charge more interest for it.
Haven't they already been doing that?
Well, there's a balancing act here. And actually, the U.S. banks are in a bit of a better position than a lot of European banks in terms of the amount of money that they have on hand and they've been amassing. So it is a very complicated sort of set of rules. It's not something that perhaps Main Street pays a whole lot of attention to. Wall Street is definitely looking at this a lot. And the big question, of course, is how long will it take to implement this? There are some provisions could take 8 or 9 years before they go into place. Basel II was put in place in about 2004, and the U.S. is still implementing some of those rules. So it takes a very long time for it to actually have an impact, but it definitely will have an impact.
Well, I don't know. This next subject may be one, Terrence, where you think we're having lowered expectations, but let's talk about the Mideast peace process. Secretary Hillary Clinton hosting round 2 of the peace talks between Israel and the Palestinians. It's going to be in Egypt, and they start talking again tomorrow. Both the Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu and Palestinian President Mahmoud Abbas are going to be there. What can we expect?
Well, you know, President Obama on Friday began the lowered expectations game by kind of lecturing each side about the difficulty of the other side's politics at home. So he went to Abbas and said, think about Prime Minister Netanyahu's problem and vice versa. And already we see that...
That Netanyahu can't get a settlement freeze continued because he'll lose his government.
Exactly.
Right.
And the difficulty, I mean, the general Palestinian apprehension about any kind of settlement talks. And so I think what you have here is Netanyahu already saying that there will be some level of lifting of the moratorium on settlements. I think the talks are very, very difficult, but that's where we started. And the fact that I think we take some measure of consolation that they're talking at all.
Well, sometimes lowered expectations can be a good thing, right?
Right.
Okay, that is Terrence Samuel. He's author of The Upper House, A Journey Behind the Closed Doors of the U.S. Senate, new managing editor at the National Journal Group. Thanks so much, Terrence.
Thanks for having me.
And also with us again, Charlie Herman, The Takeaway, and WNYC's economics editor. They are talking about the lowered expectations for paralysis. That's your agenda.